There were four preachers who met for a friendly gathering. They actually met once a year toward the beginning of the year, and they would have a fun kind of yearly meeting. And during the conversation of this particular year's meeting, one of the preachers said to the other one, "You know, our people, the people that God has in us in charge of, they come to us and they pour out their hearts. And many of them confess their sins and confess their needs. And it's such an important thing for them to do, and it's an important thing for everybody to do. Why don't we do the same thing? Why don't we confess to one another? Because confession is good for the soul." And it took a couple of minutes for them to talk each other into it, but they finally decided, okay, that's a good idea. They all agreed. And the first one confessed that he liked to go to the movies, and that often he would sneak off when he was away from the town and the church that he was a part of, and he would go to the movies. His favorite was Mary Poppins. The second confessed he liked to smoke cigars. We won't go any further than that. The third one confessed to liking to play cards. Must have been a Baptist, right? When it came to the fourth one, he all of a sudden refused. "Nope, sorry, I'm not going to confess." And they said, wait, you can't do that. You can't cop out now. We three have confessed. It's now time for you to confess. So they finally talked him into it. And he answered, "Okay, well, I confess that my vice is gossiping. And you know what? I can't wait to get out of here." Be careful what you confess. But confess you must. Do confess, because it is an incredibly powerful thing to do. And yes, last week we were looking at James 4, verses 13 through 17, and we ended up looking at verse 14. So I want to review a little bit. James chapter 4, verse 17. "Anyone then who knows the good that he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Anyone then who knows the good that he ought to do but doesn't do it does what? Sins." We say to the truth that we believers cannot take sin lightly, and we should not ignore any kind of sin that we either have committed or are considering committing in our minds. And so we resolved last week that we needed to, number one, confess our sin. And confession, we said, is simply agreeing with God. Confession simply means that you're agreeing with God that what you're doing is not right, is not pleasing to God, right? When God says something is sin, we agree, and then we come to God and deal with that particular sin. God will not, God actually cannot bless us with unconfessed sin in our lives, right? It's one of those spiritual laws. And after confessing our sins, then cleansing our sins. Now, that's something that we cannot do. We don't have the capability of cleansing ourselves or forgiving ourselves and forgiving our sins, right? But look at 1 John 1:9. It says that John says that if we confess our sins, then God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, who's the only one that can cleanse us from our sins? God. But he's not going to do it until confession is made, right? Until we agree that it is sin. When we confess our sins, then we are cleansed from our sins by God. So I want to go back, and I want to look more thoroughly at number one, this confession, this topic of confession. But I want us to look at it completely. So we're going to look at complete confession, because confessing our sins is actually only a part of the importance of confession as far as our Christian lives is concerned. And by complete confession, I don't mean just confessing our sins, as important as that is initially for us to be forgiven and cleansed of our sins, but I mean more, so much more. And you ask, what else could confession mean, biblically speaking? Of course. Well, if we look at the word confess in Thayer's Greek definition, what we find is that, yes, it does mean to admit, to declare oneself guilty of what one is accused of, or what one has done that he knows is wrong, but it also means to profess, to declare openly, to speak out freely, to profess oneself the worshiper of another one, to praise. In other words, what we were doing right before this, as we were singing the worship songs, we were confessing, right? We were confessing that Jesus is Lord, or Jesus is our Savior, and that God is great, that God is the Creator. And we confessed many different things in the words of the songs. Studying God's word and then speaking the word of God out loud, speaking it, or as it can also be called, meditation on the word and then confession of the word, is an important means by which God, through his Holy Spirit, imparts his word into our hearts. Let me say that again. Meditation on and then confession of the word is an important means by which God, through his Holy Spirit, imparts his word into our hearts. Now, we could say that, yes, reading the word, studying it, meditating on it. Now, when I'm talking about meditation, I'm not talking about Eastern meditation where you're supposed to empty your mind of all thoughts. You do that, you're in trouble, right? Biblically speaking, what happens when you empty your mind? All kinds of evil things can get in there, right? You're just opening yourself up to the wrong kinds of influence. What I'm talking about is filling your mind with what? God's word. And meditating on it, filling your mind with God's word, your heart with God's word, studying it, thinking about it, meditating on it, and then confession of that word. That's a means by which God imparts his word through his Holy Spirit into our hearts, so that we can then speak of all the things that he has done for us in Christ. What I found in my personal relationship with God, as I begin to study his word now, I like to pray through a lot of his word, especially when it comes to the Psalms. I like to spend time, and I will do it out loud. When we confess our sins to God, do you think God's surprised at the sins that we're confessing? Do you think he doesn't know it until we confess it? Of course he knows it. So why is it important that we confess? Is it important to him, or is it important to us? It's important that we realize that he realizes that we realize it. It's important that we realize that he realizes that we realize it. We are not in denial of our sin anymore. So it's not important to him, except that it's important for us to drop the denial, to admit the sin, right? Because it's harder for us to admit it to ourselves than it is to confess it to ourselves than it is to confess it to anybody else. And we must first confess it to ourselves before we can confess it to anybody else. Right? So, this is one of the most important means to true Christian spiritual growth. In other words, if we don't study, if we don't meditate on God's word, and if we don't confess, we don't grow. Our minds will never become renewed by the word of God, and our growth will stagnate. Now, you can study God's word. Another thing that I found out as I matured, as I studied his word, I didn't want to keep it within me, right? I wanted to discuss it with others who were also being just amazed as the Holy Spirit revealed more and more truth to them. I couldn't keep it to myself. I had to discuss it first with God. It was just amazing. Your truth, unbelievable. Did you see what you wrote here? You know, but then to others, wow, you know what I read in Scripture this morning? Oh, yeah, I read that same thing, and it's amazing how the Holy Spirit brings us together and we discuss great detail, and more is revealed as we then confess what we have learned, right? Meditation on and then confession of Christ and the Scriptures will both enhance what we believe, and it will help us to eliminate then negative effects of more worthless and worldly worldviews. The more time we spend reading this, meditating on it, than say on the newspaper or the worldviews or what's happening in the world, the more positive influence we will receive. The less negative influence we will receive. We will not be affected as much by these worldviews, these worldly worldviews. Now, notice in my statement, I purposefully listed two types of, quote, words for us to meditate on. Words as things to meditate on and then confess. The first one was the Word made flesh. I said meditation on and then confession of Christ. And Christ is the Word made flesh, right? Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. You could probably say it from memory. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. He was with God, more personal, in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Nothing, or without him, nothing was made that has been made. All right? And who's the him? Who's the Word? Well, if we look at 1 John 1:14, if we move up 11 verses to verse 14 of John 1, we read that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So who is the Word referring to? Jesus Christ, right? Now we jump to 1 John towards the end of the New Testament, to 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. And it says there that whoever, what? Confesses that Jesus, the Word, is the Son of God, then God abides in him and he in God. So we see the confession of the Word made flesh, confession of Jesus as Savior, confession of Jesus as Lord, which is a further, more mature step, is very important for us as far as our spiritual growth is concerned, right? Again, in verse 15 of 1 John 4, that word confess, homologeo, is that same one that we looked at in Thayer's, if we look at it in Vines. To declare openly by speaking out one's belief. So confessing that Jesus is indeed not just Lord, but also God, right? So we have the Word made flesh that we need to confess. The second thing is the Word of God, meaning Scriptures. Scriptures. And especially for us who are living in this time, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But not just the gospel. God's Word, the Scriptures, are so important for us when it comes to spiritual growth. We have to be reading. We have to be meditating on it. We have to be studying it if we want to grow spiritually. We have to be. And it's always been that way. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. The Word is very near you. It is in your mouth, in your heart, so you may obey it. Deuteronomy 32, verse 47. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. Psalms, the best. Psalm 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And then, of course, in the Psalms, what's the best chapter as far as the Word is concerned? 119, right? The big one, the big chapter. Psalm 119, verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. 119, verse 37. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your, what?
Well, yeah, so we could see how important it has been since the beginning to study God's Word, to meditate on God's Word. That's great advice from the psalmist here. We need to identify what is influencing our hearts. What's influencing our heart? What is it that we are truly meditating on, spending time with? And we need to choose to receive and believe God's word over all other words we're subject to in this world. The word must take preeminence. And the way this happens is to continually believe his word in our heart. Meditate on it over and over again. And not just meditate on it, discuss it. Confess it to others. Allow them to confess it to you. And it becomes even more true. Especially as we act on it even. And we realize it's confirming itself as truth. The more of his word that we have within us, the less of an influence the world will have on us. The more of the world that we have within us to come out, the more influence we can have then on the world instead of the world influencing us, right? We must believe the word that we're hearing. We must believe it. Believe the word that we're studying, that we are meditating on. We must receive it by faith. For that faith is a gift of God given as we spend time with him meditating on the word. Who is the one that gives, that departs the gift of faith? Who's the one that departs all of our gifts, that gives us all of our gifts? The Holy Spirit of God. Right. And as we study more on his word, the Holy Spirit reveals more truth to us about that word. Right? And is building our faith in the word. And then as we act on it again, our faith is built even more because it is, the word is confirmed. If we do not believe in the word in our hearts, it will not, it cannot have the effect in our lives that it should. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, we have also had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. He was talking about the Jews who did not believe. But the message that they heard was of no value to them. Why? Because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. And so it just fell emptily. It didn't connect with anything. It didn't help grow anything. But the word will help grow the faith that we're gifted by the Holy Spirit. So the only way the word will have its effect in or on us is when we faithfully receive it and faithfully believe it in our hearts. Then it will affect. Then it will transform. Faith is evident when we hear the word spoken to our hearts. Thanks to God's Holy Spirit, the word carries with it the power to believe as we allow it to transform our hearts then. And the more that we study it, the more that we meditate on it, the more that transformation will happen. And again, it's going to be interesting to see how your times of meditation go. Because as I get more and more of God's truth revealed to me, yes, I like to go and talk about it to others, but I love to talk about it to God also. And what I end up doing is I end up reading a lot of the portions of Scripture out loud, confessing his truth back to him. Do you know what you wrote here? I mean, this is amazing. And he chuckles. He has a smile. I mean, that's what he desires for us to do. But again, it's confessing this truth that I'm having transform my life, and it's not helping him out. Who's it helping? Me. He is pleased because he sees the growth, yes. It's amazing. Once we choose to confess the words, they become a very part of who we are, whether in death or in life. That's what we have to understand. We are all given the same life of Christ. We're all given the same gospel of Jesus Christ, right? We're all given the same word. I mean, it might be different translations, right? But isn't it literally the same word?
Hasn't God given that understanding? We are all given the same measure of faith by the Holy Spirit, by the one Holy Spirit, right? Because it directly comes from God's Holy Spirit. So what's the difference then between mature and immature believers? Isn't it what they do with that? A mature Christian can be distinguished from an immature one by seeing how much of the word that they've studied, that they've inputted, comes back out, gets outputted. Right? We can see it in their lives. We can hear it in their words. It has transformed them. Immature Christians are still trying to get something they already have. They don't even realize that they have it. Why? Because they don't take the time to truly look at it, to truly study it, to truly meditate on it. And they're not given any less than anybody else is. They're just not doing with what they're giving, with what they're given. They're not allowing that which they do have to work in their lives. They don't spend time alone with the Father. They don't feel the Father wants to spend time with them. Why? Because secretly, they know they're sinners. And they don't confess that to themselves. So it's hard for them to get to other steps. They don't spend time alone with the Father. They don't meditate. They don't confess the word. They're always more aware of their needs than they are aware of God's supply. They're more aware and they're focusing on their needs than they are aware of God's supply for those needs. Mature Christians know that they do have all that they need. They know what God has provided through His Holy Spirit, and they meditate on that. They study it. They understand it more and more, and they apply it more and more to their lives. And they confess those things, and when they do, it is seen in their actions, and it is heard in their words, right? The more of the word that we speak, that we confess from our hearts, the less influence and the less opportunity Satan has to impact our lives with doubt, with fear, with confusion, with unbelief. So the importance of complete confession of the Word of God should not be minimalized. It shouldn't be neglected. It should be understood and it should be practiced. If we truly want more of God in our lives, then we have to confess or speak His Word at all times, in all places, constantly. And we confess it not just in words, we confess it in our actions as well, right? Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it is written, I believe, therefore I speak, or I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also need to believe and therefore speak. And therefore speak. Paul says, I can't help but preach. I'm so full of God's truth that it just can't stay there. I've got to confess it. And as we study more and meditate more on it, that's exactly what's going to happen. And we're going to talk about it with other brothers and sisters, but we're also going to talk about it with those who don't know. And they will see the difference. They will hear the difference. They will desire that difference, will they not? We either accept God's word and speak, or we deny God's word and we don't. And either way, it's going to have a direct effect on our lives, and not just our lives, but on the lives of those around us. For as it says in Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. Now, James, boy, if you want to get back to the tongue, James talks quite practically about the tongue, doesn't it? A spark that can light the forest on fire, a small little thing like a rudder that can drive the whole ship. You got to be careful about that tongue, James says. And it's interesting, when you think about it, it's kind of a unique thing that God did when He created the human beings. He tied the tongue directly to our hearts. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that in things that you've said? The words of our mouth simply bring out the things found in our hearts, right? The things that we believe. Especially at the worst times. Once we choose to say them out loud, they become a very part
of who we are. They become a part of our character, either life or death. Either the goodness or not so good. Again, listen to Paul as he talks in Romans 10. Verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will, what? Be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. When we believe in our hearts, we make the choice to be influenced by God's Holy Spirit. And just like with forgiveness, we go back to last week, when we confess our sins, it allows God to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, cleanse us from our sins. Here now, once we make the choice to be influenced by God and open our mouths and confess Jesus Christ as not just Savior, but also Lord, as Savior and Lord, it allows for the appropriate action of God to bring us to salvation. So one forgives our sins as we repent, truly repent. The other, confessing Lord and Savior, brings us to salvation. Then as we grow spiritually through meditation on and confession of his written word, and we continue to confess, speak out his written word, God works through us, saving others around us, and we help to build his kingdom here on earth. So those are the three components of complete confession that we have to understand. Yes, it starts by confessing our sins. Continues by confessing Jesus Christ as Lord as we truly get to know. What's the difference between profession and confession? Confession, you believe it. And that brings you salvation. And then continuing to confess his word brings the kingdom of God further and further upon the earth. And it's how we are to grow spiritually as a Christian. We continue to study. We continue to believe with our hearts the word revealed to us. We continue to speak it to God, back to God, to one another, to others, and confess that word out loud, allowing the Spirit of God to have its full effect, not just in us, again, but through us into the world around us. Meditating on the word, believing the word spoken to us by the Spirit, and then confessing the word out loud will bring with that word the power to perform that word that we are speaking. It's kind of confusing, but it's true, and it's amazing how God works. It's amazing how God works. The main truth is, it's God who's doing the actual work, right? It's not us. It's God who's doing the actual work, for only he has the power to perform. Only God has the power to perform. We have the privilege to participate in his process. We have the privilege to participate in his process to bring us to full maturity in Christ, but also to help bring the world fully into his kingdom on earth. And complete confession is a very important part of that process. Amen?
Ron, if I could just share a couple extra verses. It's so good what you're sharing this morning. And I wanted to add first just Proverbs 28, verse 13 and 14. It says, he who conceals his sins does not prosper. But whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Blessed is the man who always fears the Lord, but he who hardens his heart falls into trouble. Tying in kind of both thoughts as we go to respond here, and in worship as we prepare to go out. First or Second Timothy chapter 2. Last week, you know, with just really that first part of the confessing our sins, we've got to get our lives right with God. I mean, that's just where things start. But then this whole, we want to confess his name. We want to live for him. We want to be obedient to him. That's just the next response when he's cleansed us. That our hearts wouldn't be hard, you know, but we would really just allow that sanctification. He wants to take it from you. He wants to forgive you. It's wonderful. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19 says, "Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, 'The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness.'" And I just really appreciated where Ron was ending this morning, because I think this is so critical. The power that we're talking about there in our confession, the real power of God's word, is in the connection of these two. It says here that those who confess the name of the Lord, who are going to live this life, need to turn from wickedness. There is no place for sin in our life no more. And so it's what's beautiful is as we meditate, as we just take God's word and plant it in our heart, as we grow in his word, as we live out his word, it actually reminds us all too often more sin in our life that we need to lay down and confess and get right. And so these two are quite often constantly happening in our lives, a confession of the sin before God and getting right. And yet then the power that comes from the true confession of faith, because it comes not in hypocrisy, it comes in true living and true humility and true walking with God. I just end with these this charge to Timothy from Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you." This is so cool, because this is Paul reminding, the same charge I'm giving you, Timothy, is the one that Christ came before us, and he confessed before Pontius Pilate, and so I just charge you the same way, confess in every good confession before the many witnesses to live this word out. Amen. Let's pray and let's respond to God in song here. Father, I thank you for your word of life to us. And I thank you, as in Psalm 119, 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And that your word in every way would continue to reveal the areas of our life that need to be turned over to you, that the two would become one. Just like you're one with the Father, so, Lord, you're alive in us now. And so your word is alive. And so, Lord, let this word be so sanctified within us that we are now one with the word. That sin is now as far as the east is from the west. So we confess our sins to you. We even this morning allow your spirit to even right now. Is there any sin that need to be laid down? And yet, Lord, may we walk out these doors knowing because that purification, because that sanctification that comes in our confession to you, that now, Lord, what we have to say and to live out according to your word comes with power. And may we understand that power. It's a new creation. It's a new life. And so we stay aligned with your word, living it out obediently, tasting and seeing how good it truly is in our lives. We love you, Lord, and we live a life of confession to you in these two ways. We love it in Jesus' name. Amen.